Welcome to America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. I am a big fan of the TED Talks. Never attended a TED conference, but since they take most of their talks and those that are put on at the auxiliary conferences around the country called the TEDx Talks, they put them online and they are free to download and watch. There is a lot of fascinating stuff being done by a lot of fascinating people, and I'm going to introduce you to one of them right now. His name is Alex Mattinger, and next weekend he is going to graduate from the University of Missouri with a degree in mechanical engineering, and after that he is going to start up a 3D printing business. While at Mizzou, he was the president of the 3D Printing Club, and I recently saw a talk he gave in Columbia, Missouri, at a TEDx talk about 3D printing, and I thought, well, let's get Alex on the show to explain it to us. Alex, welcome to America Weekend.
Hey, good morning, Paul. Thanks for having me.
You say in your talk that 3D printing will turn you from a consumer to a producer. What does that mean?
Well, it means if you have an idea and you draw it out on the back of a napkin, you can bring it into life besides just leaving it there. You can easily model on a computer and get a prototype in your hand much faster and cheaper than you ever could in the past.
So it makes innovation cheaper?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
It makes it cheaper, makes it more readily accessible. It's not just for big industries anymore. You can do it in your home now.
All right, let's start at the very beginning. What is 3D printing? What are you printing with?
You can print in plastics or metals or even living cells. Now, there's a wide range of materials. Anything that you can build up additively, layer by layer. Like, imagine you want to build a step pyramid. You build it up layer by layer in these big brick blocks. Well, imagine those blocks are plastic and they're very, very small, and you can have very intricate patterns on each layer. You can get some really cool 3D objects that way. That's all 3D printing is.
Okay, so we put one layer on top of another layer. When we look at the finished product, can we say, oh, this is just a whole bunch of layers, or does it just look like one solid piece?
Well, if the layers are, well, an inch tall, then yeah, it would look pretty bad. But now printers are getting down to the level of 16 microns. That's 0.016 millimeters. That's less than a tenth of a human hair almost. You can barely even tell.
Wow. All right, so tech is always expensive at the beginning. If you were to buy the first personal computer, that would have cost you a lot of money. The first cell phones cost a lot of money compared to what they cost now. Are we at that point where 3D printing, where it's cost prohibitive for most people?
It's tipping right now. I'd say in the last 2 years or so, there was an increase in the number of personal printers that were available to consumers at a price that was reasonable. Right now, you can buy a printer for about $2,000 from a number of companies. It's not just a monopoly. There's a bunch of guys doing this for a couple thousand dollars that even 5 years ago, to get a printer that quality, you wouldn't even have to spend $35,000. It's rapidly coming down.
Now, I've heard there's a little bit of controversy about people being able to download from the internet the instructions on how to use a 3D printer to make a gun. In fact, the State Department recently made a site that was run by a law student at the University of Texas. They made him remove downloadable design files that can be used to make guns. We must be talking about plastic guns there, right? We're not talking about 3D printing metallic objects like a gun, are we?
Well, that's the thing. If you have the files and you have the access and you have the know-how how to do it, you have the object. The site you're referencing is DeathCAD. That was led by Cody Wilson down in Texas. He's been creating a stir for the last couple months about printing lower receivers for automatic rifles. And depending on his method of getting and putting this out there, it's kind of easy to understand why the Department of Defense took it down. But when you look at this, it's just a way to make things, really. If you have the file, if you have the digital file, that's where the kicker is. Now we can spread digital files like we spread music and movies, most of the time illegally, in the past 5-10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can do that with objects. You have the information, the geometric information of an object. If you have the ability to bring that out of the digital world into the physical world, you can do it. I mean, you can't just go get all the files for an iPad right now and go print one in your home. We don't have the capacity to do that yet. But if it's, object that has just mostly one or two materials in it. That's either plastic or metal. That includes gun parts, medical devices, even your own inventions right now. Yeah, you can make it in your home.
Now, I've heard of 3D printers. You mentioned living tissue. I've heard of 3D printers making ears and other things. Are we going to get to a point where we can build a person?
I would say yes, but I would turn around right back and say we're not going to do it with 3D printing. It's not going to be cost effective to build the entire person that way, because 3D printing is based on volume. If you have a very beautiful, ornate statue, it would be cheaper to 3D print that versus a bounding cube that would the statue could rest inside, merely because it's more volume. The detail doesn't count. So to print an entire person, you know, in a large stage, that would be a lot of cost, and I think there's going to be simpler ways to grow them. But we will print individual organs.
We will print individual organs. So you, if you had to go to the hospital for a transplant, eventually you won't have to wait for someone else to die for you to get a liver.
That's the idea. People are already printing, like straight up 3D printing, arteries, nerve grafts. And in the past 2 weeks, there was success with liver tissue.
And what are they using as the so-called ink in those printers? What's going in that's making that come out?
Living cells. There is a cultured grouping of cells that are selectively laid down in this biogel, which is really just able to support it and nourish it for a short amount of time until the cells grow together and the geometry you laid them down by for whatever function you want. So if you put them in a big cylinder, you get an artery. If you put them, a nerve graft is kind of a band-aid for nerves. If a nerve has been severed, you can stick both ends in this nerve graft and it helps it find its way back together to heal. It's all dependent on the cells you put in and the geometry you put them in.
In your TEDx talk, you told the story of a girl named Emma. Would you share that story with my audience?
Yes. Emma is a little girl who was born without the ability to raise her arms. There are machines that could help her, but they're big and made of metal and heavy. And there was another option available because of 3D printing. Doctors were able to scan her and take her unique, you know, geometric conditions with her arms and use that to print her a custom arm holster that lets her raise her arms. It's just made for her and her small, fragile body. It was more lightweight because of the plastic. If anything broke, they could easily print a new one very quickly. And as she grew, they could update the parts with her and have her continuously be aided by this machine.
So we're talking about personal product manufacturing here.
Yes, sir.
So can you see a day where I go into a clothing store and I want to buy a pair of pants? You know, hey, I want to get a new pair of jeans. I go into the store, they measure me, they go in the back, they print me a pair of jeans in exactly the size that fits me perfectly?
There's already some experimentation with spray-on clothing. If we are ever able to print in a cloth-like material, yes, no question about it. You could get some plastic parachute pants right now if you wanted.
no thanks.
Plastic or metal.
And the other thing I wanted to ask you, Alex, is yesterday I talked to the guy who's the CEO of Mars One. He wants to send humans to Mars in 2023, and he says there will be robots that will help you along the way and help you make things. Could 3D printing be a part of that?
I will personally see that there are some 3D printers on Mars because they are essential. This is one of the big implications 3D printing has for space exploration is that this ability to transfer files easily over distances. If we send up a machine with a printer on it to the moon or Mars and it is able to build with materials it can harvest there, we can design files here on Earth, design a home model.
Wow.
Send it to the machine.
And
it'll collect the necessary resources
and make
it
there.
It.
Unbelievable. Yep. Unbelievable. Alex, thanks so much for joining me. Congratulations on graduating, too, next weekend.
Thank you, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Alex Mattinger, about to be a mechanical engineer graduate from the University of Missouri. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
Paul Harris. America Weekend.